Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, September 30th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle the used gadgets lying around your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it! Gazelle your used gadgets today at gazelle.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
I'm Jason Howell.
Sarah Lane is off being a professional wedding attender.
That's her job.
And joining us is Randall Bennett from vidplusplus.com.
That's what we're going with today. And it changes every week. So.
You're amazing. How many of these
things? Thanks, Tom.
Hey, no, your vidplusplus is taking off. Huh? It's doing well.
Yeah, we're doing some little things, some different things, working with some TV stations. So if you work at a TV station or you know someone, you should go to VidPlus+. We should be friends. Just saying.
Always good to have you on the show, Randall. Let's start off with a report from VentureBeat that Amazon is in advanced negotiations to buy what's left of Palm from HP. That would be part of the systems group that is involved in Palm as well as WebOS. To give this a little bit of context, John Rubinstein, the former Palm head, joined the board of Amazon in December last year as director, so there's a connection there, and told This Is My Next back in July, quote, "I would say Amazon would certainly make a great partner because they have a lot of characteristics that would help them expand the WebOS ecosystem." He also said, as to whether there's been discussions or not, that's something I'm not going to comment about, but if VentureBeat sources are to be believed, Amazon would then buy WebOS and use it to make further Kindle tablets instead of the heavy modification of Android that they've been doing.
Does that make a whole lot of sense to pick up WebOS instead of just coming up with their own version of Linux or just starting something from scratch? I mean, WebOS has some benefits. I know that a lot of people were super excited when it came out on the Palm Pre, and they're like, this is fantastic and it'll be great. But is it just so far like in the mud that nobody wants to get it? Why would Amazon need this?
The thing that Amazon can do with WebOS that no one else can do, Amazon has a great relationship with developers, and WebOS is a super developer-friendly platform. So because HP and Palm before weren't able to leverage developers to their full effect, I think Amazon would have a unique shot at using WebOS, an already built and already appreciated operating system, to get some leverage. I mean, especially against Android, when you figure Google, Amazon, Apple, they all are kind of in this at arm's length dance. So
I get the impression that people like WebOS. They just don't like any of the hardware that it's run on yet. And that's been the problem.
That's me.
Yeah?
Definitely me. I mean, I had a Palm Pre. I upgraded to the iPhone 4. I couldn't handle the sloppy hardware, but I love the operating system. I mean, it feels really well. I think, personally, it's the most, at least at the time, it was the best integrated with Facebook. I mean, people that were my friends in Facebook would show up in my address book without any management. So I think that it has a lot of things going for it. It's just, you know, I think if anyone can pull it off, Amazon can.
The other thing is I'm thinking they could buy it for the patents. You know, you could have nice leverage there and they could have some protection on their own. But for them to buy WebOS and put it on the new version of the Kindle Fire or something in the future, I mean, I could see that, but I just don't know why they would pick this particular operating system.
It's available for cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
For sale, for cheap.
And if you look at even the Kindle Fire is based on the playbook, right? So you figure Amazon hasn't really put a lot of effort into tablet engineering. If they start with the touchpad and then evolve it further so that it's actually, you know, runs faster, is higher quality, et cetera, I mean, they'd have a real shot at making a true iPad competitor.
Yeah, they're already making Android look unrecognizable. What does it matter if they have a WebOS and then they don't have to depend on Google at all? They've got a group in-house.
Do you think they'd bring WebOS to something like a set-top box, even though the interface would be completely different? Because they would have such a robust operating system, they'd be able to put it on a lot more things, not just a Kindle.
Yeah, and
it could go somewhere else.
I think in this situation, if this is true, this turns out to be true that Amazon is wanting to buy this, they probably want to buy the talent and the intellectual property. They're probably not that fussed about buying WebOS as we know it now.
I think they would get it and then evaluate what to do with it next. I mean, it's definitely like if they could use it in a tablet. I know that, you know, they're able to port Android to the touchpad. So you figure you know, it's in that little ARM realm. It shouldn't be that difficult to further implement. But I definitely agree with you, Tom, that this is a talent purchase, a patent purchase. Oh, yeah, and you get an operating system that you can decide what to do with. So
let's move on to continuing coverage of patent wars. What happened? Is it not there? Oh, there it is.
Oh, hey, there it goes.
I just wanted to serenade it. not at all an attempt to cover up my lack of having it.
The a cappella version was quite amazing, I gotta say.
Good. I'm glad
you need to go and redo it anyway, because this is patent peace.
Oh. What?
Not patent wars. Samsung has offered a deal. Is that the sound of doves?
Yeah, that's birds.
They were birds?
Peacefully. Yeah.
Samsung has offered a deal to Apple, which would allow the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 to hit shelves in Australia next week. Remember, there's a three-front war going on, the United States, Europe, and Australia between Samsung and Apple. This is only regarding the Australian lawsuit. And in court, Samsung has said, we offered a deal. If Apple agrees to it, we've given them three options. We could have the Galaxy Tab on shelves in Australia within 1 week. Wall Street Journal reports that the agreement would be temporary and that the court case would continue, but it would allow Samsung to sell the Tab while the court case continues. Apple's lawyer questioned one of the Samsung witnesses about that 1 week turnaround in cross-examination.
Now, back to this is a three-front war, but there's about 20-something battles right now. There's a lot of different lawsuits on this. The only way I could see Samsung doing anything within a week is just effectively paying Apple a piece of every sale of the Galaxy Tab to put it out on the market. Because otherwise, there's no way they can just change the design of a Galaxy Tab that's already made.
Right. Well, the story implies that they have given three options for designing around the patents that would no longer infringe
Apple.
Well,
the way to design around is to give something called green money.
But this Apple lawyer that questioned the one-week turnaround and cross-examination said, how are you possibly going to ship in a brand new design within 1 week? And of course, the Samsung guy said, well, I'm not an engineer. I don't know. I'm just telling you what they told me.
Samsung, to me, is maybe the only company that could plausibly argue that, right? They have such a supply chain. They make all these components.
You think it's plausible?
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's completely plausible. I would say it's like there's a chance in hell is maybe the only way I can
But there, so you're like, saying there's a chance.
Exactly. There's this like slight chance that Samsung might be able to pull this off. Although it does seem pretty like hilarious to me that like somehow they would manufacture an entirely new design case that works. And I don't know.
It's Samsung Australia's head of telecommunications, Tyler McGee, said, I'm not an engineer. I can't tell you how long it would take for a software engineer to remove the offending features.
They'll just paint the whole thing orange.
And if it's just software, you could just flash new.
That's true. If it's
new
software,
firmware, that would make it
easier. That was the way they got around other issues with Apple in the past. They say, look, of the 15 patents you said we were infringing, we just changed 14 of them with a software update. So see how innovative we are in the first place. So if it's just software, that can be flashed. If it's just the look, I mean, it's the design issue that they've had in other. I mean, it's hard to keep straight exactly what's going on in Australia right now.
Yeah. Australia is not the community design. That's Europe.
Okay. So, so I don't know exactly what. What's the issue in there in Australia
again? Patent.
On?
I don't know what particular patents that are contested. No.
Wait, I'm still thinking that this is still a negotiation ploy in general. Samsung and Apple were, you know, good friends. They had a good business relationship. Samsung components are all over Macs and iOS devices.
All the flash memory.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like they need to get this settled because Samsung is a really powerful partner that they need.
Apple seems to think otherwise. They seem to think they can get their parts elsewhere if they need to. And they've showed that they can. They've found alternative distributors. So
Apple definitely has the position of strength. I mean, you look at the iPad sales. If they had to, they could switch to another manufacturer, like you say. I think Samsung, in this specific instance, they're definitely using this as a negotiation tactic to say, oh, well, you know, we could fix this anyway. We don't even need to license your patents or anything. I don't know. Samsung needs to just kind of wrap this up in Australia, at least.
Meanwhile, the original Samsung Galaxy Tab, the 7-inch one, is getting a refresh. Samsung today announced the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.0 Plus. A little thinner, 9.96 millimeters. A little bit lighter, 345 grams. 1.2 gigahertz dual-core processor. 1 gigabyte of RAM. 16 gigabyte or 32 gigabyte options for storage. It's got your basic cameras on there, front and back. TouchWiz. Running Android 3.2, that's Honeycomb. So it's a nice refresh to the original Tab. And I guess because it's 7 inches, they don't worry about it infringing the patents as much.
Well, it's clearly smaller than the other one. I think the Galaxy Tab 10.1 is the big issue with Samsung and Apple. The 7 Plus, that's what they're calling this now. Okay, good
7.0
name. 7.0 Plus, because they were naming them with the screen size. There's 7.0, and there's the 8.9, and there's a 10.1, but this is 7.0 Plus.
Bingo.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, that'd be nuts.
Exactly.
Numbers.
Oh, I like the upgrades. I mean, it's interesting that they didn't
HSPA
bother.
Plus? That's nice.
Well, it's interesting that they didn't just go, okay, we're killing the 7, and we're calling it something completely different. We have Galaxy Tab, you know, like XYZ or something, which would be a terrible name.
Yeah, it's just taking the original Tab and bulking up the specs. If you're not put off by a 7-inch form factor, this is a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah, I'm into the 7-inch. You know, Harry McCracken over at Technologizer, he laid out his, ways to decide if something is a worthy iPad competitor. One of them is that it looks distinctly different or is in a distinctly different form factor. I think this widescreen 7-inch form factor, to me, there's something appealing about the widescreen, you know, aspect ratio, especially if you have a lot of widescreen movies. When you're reading a book, you know, you can only really read it vertically, not horizontal as much, at least in my experience.
I don't like to read it horizontally because they do that split page thing. I don't like that.
Yeah, and especially in that 7-inch, like this rectangle thing, it just doesn't work. So, I mean, this is my guess. My guess is the reason why Apple went square is because it works in more circumstances. But I think for specific people, they're going to dig this, you know, especially if you're holding it up, like you'd hold a phone maybe. You can hold a 7-inch device in your hand, even though it seems a little bit awkward. I'm glad they're trying something that's a little bit interesting. So
Indonesia and Austria will get the tablet in October, and then it will follow throughout the rest of the world
after
that.
Good timing. I mean, the Kindle Fire's got people excited. Money's in their pocket to get rid of. And they're like, this is out now. Well, in Austria and Indonesia.
It's good timing for people in Indonesia and Austria. Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break. You're going to need some money from our sponsor if you want to buy all these gadgets that are coming out and get rid of your old gadgets to make some room. The latest smartphones, MP3 players, laptops, gaming consoles, all can be sold on gazelle.com. I do it a lot. It actually helps feed my gadget habit because I buy a lot of gadgets because I want to be able to test them out and talk about them on the show. And then I need to make some room for the other one. So you take your old stuff, you go to gazelle.com, you look it up, tell it what condition it is, what cables you have, whether you have a box, normal wear and tear, working battery, stuff like that. Once you've picked all of those selections, it will give you a quote of how much you can get. For instance, iPod Touch 3rd generation, you can get $82 for it right now. That's $82 that you don't have, and it makes room for you to buy a new iPod Touch or maybe a Samsung Galaxy Player or maybe a new Amazon Kindle Fire. Any way you go about it, you can get the money from Gazelle without having to go through the trouble of talking to buyers and working out negotiations and shipping. They print a label for you. You print a label right off of your own computer, stick it in a box. They'll even send you a box. Ship it off to them. They send you the money. You can get it by PayPal. You can get it by Walmart gift card. You can get an Amazon gift card that gives you a 5% bonus. So you get 5% more if you get the Amazon gift card, and then you can go buy one of the Kindles from Amazon.
On top of that, if you give them like a laptop or anything, they'll wipe your data for you. So you don't have to worry about wiping out your own data before selling it to somebody else. It's a pretty easy kind of system.
Yeah, exactly. So check them out, gazelle.com. See how much your gadgets are worth and let Gazelle get rid of them for you. We thank them for their support of Tech News Today. And now we say a final goodbye to Nokia's operation of Symbian. Symbian's still going to be around, actually, but Nokia officially passed it off to Accenture today. 2,300 Nokia employees now work for Accenture. They've been transferred from Nokia, so they'll be the caretakers of Symbian. Wow, it takes a lot of people to take care of Symbian.
A caretaker.
Nokia will continue to support Symbian until 2016, and updates will roll out throughout that time. Nokia will still put out Symbian phones during that time, mostly low-end smartphones. If you're thinking about this story and you're saying, wait a minute, I thought 2,800 people were supposed to move over, you're paying very close attention. And Nokia pointed out that a number of people have found new roles either within Nokia or outside Nokia. So 500 people basically quit, said, I'm not going to go work for Accenture.
Is that the case, or did they end up working on the other operating system Nokia's working on?
Well, they quit working on Symbian.
Okay, well, they're doing something
else. Whichever way you look at it, whether they stayed with Nokia or they went
to
another company.
Hopefully they didn't go to any of those other divisions that have the job cuts. There's another 3,500, we talked about it yesterday, being cut by the end of the year. So hopefully...
This is the long sunset of Symbian as an operating system.
Or Nokia in general.
Well, and that's a possibility too, right? Nokia is now out of the Symbian business and is entirely reliant on Windows Phone, Series 40, and that new Linux-based operating system, Melatonin, or Meltrimi.
Meltimi.
Meltimi,
that's what it is.
The Melty operating system that they're going to use to replace Series 40. So I think Windows Phone Mango has gotten some good reviews. That it's Nokia's game to lose here as far as making some money. But we got to see some phones from them. They're gonna be behind for a year.
This is Nokia's slow march into actually reestablishing itself with Windows Phone 7, and that's what they do. This is the phone company you're supposed to see when you think Windows Phone 7. They're supposed to have the ability to customize Windows Phone 7 when nobody else could. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to do once they finally come out with a phone, which is supposed to happen at the end of the year.
Yeah, and this was an important move for Nokia because they needed to get these 2,300 jobs off their payroll, and that helps them lose less money per month. It helps reduce their run rate. Department of Justice reportedly investigating Chinese tech firms for accounting irregularities. This is something that has cropped up from time to time. Rupert Murdoch was investing in a Chinese company, and they had to scramble to find someone with expertise in U.S. accounting regulations so they wouldn't run afoul of them. Reuters reports that the SEC and the FBI are also investigating, and these are big sites. Sites like Tudou, Youku, Baidu, Sina, Focus Media. You know, Baidu. Baidu is the Google of China. That's the major search engine there. Alibaba not listed among these, which is good news for Yahoo. But think about it if the Department of Justice suddenly said, we're going to investigate Google and Facebook and Groupon and Twitter. These are the kinds of those names in China.
Doesn't this seem really political, though? Like, I mean, the fact is United States got a kind of a debt problem with China. And so maybe investigating and threatening about their accounting practices, wanting to like shine some light in an area where they would not want light. Is this just a negotiation ploy? I mean, it doesn't seem like necessarily that China is all okay with the United States general accounting practices, but it just seems like a political move.
What do you think, Randall?
This is such a hard, it's so hard to read the tea leaves in stories like this just because there's so many people with so many different agendas. And they all kind of, play off of each other in the media. I think I feel like there isn't exactly a sterling reputation on the part of Chinese ISPs as far as, not ISPs, but Chinese product companies as far as, being the most scrupulous. And I mean, there's this sort of perception, maybe in the West, and maybe just in my own head, about how Chinese internet companies run. So, putting some extra light on it, they might find something. I'm hoping that they don't. I just think, situations like this, it's a little bit hard for me to parse, like, what exactly is going on behind the scenes.
It is hard to parse, but whether they find anything or whether they intend to find anything, trading is down in these stocks. So suddenly China, which is already looking at a possible hard landing of their economic expansion, has a bunch of their most dynamic companies in the online sector facing stock troubles. That is a blow, and whether it's on purpose because of political maneuvering or it's because there are actual violations going on here that the U.S. has to investigate, I don't know enough about the political situation to say, but it certainly isn't good news for the online sector in China, no matter how you look at it.
This goes beyond China as well. If any United States companies, I think Microsoft works with Baidu, if they were shown some information that may not be exactly true, Microsoft may be upset with their business partners. I mean, I think Bing works with Baidu, actually, the English version of it. So, I mean, if any companies are invested in these companies, American companies are invested in these Chinese companies, they are probably looking very hard at the books once all the data comes out.
Let's finish up. Go ahead, Randall.
I was just saying, on the plus side, if everything comes back sterling, it's good for all of us. It means we can all trust each other and we can all get along.
Those stocks can all back up. Yeah, it could be as simple as these companies just don't have the accounting expertise to properly follow the intricacies of U.S.
Exactly.
accounting law, which isn't simple by any stretch. So they may just need to hire a few people and clean up their act and everything's fine. We have a mystery, though, that we have to solve here. Three Apple stores are temporarily closed. Is it bad pipes or something more nefarious?
These are brick and mortar stores.
These are, the Chestnut Street Apple Store in San Francisco, the Walnut Creek, California store in suburban San Francisco, and the University Village Street store in Seattle, all closed as of September 26th and have different opening dates. The Chestnut store says it will be closed until October 5th. The Walnut Creek store says it will be closed until October 3rd. And the Seattle store says it will be closed until October 6th. All those dates right around the Apple iPhone announcement on October 4th. And if you call the Walnut Creek store, this is the voicemail that you get.
For calling the Apple Store Walnut Creek, we are currently closed while we undergo a minor update to the Apple Store. We will reopen on Tuesday, October 4th. Until we open, we invite you to visit the Apple Store Stone Ridge.
October 4th, says the voicemail. So maybe they put different dates up on their websites to throw people off the trail.
And you've been to these couple of these stores, right?
I've been to two of them. Yeah.
Are these particularly large stores?
No, these are the small-end mall-type stores, usually with one counter at the back for a combination of Genius Bar and any of their help stuff. They don't have the stages. They don't have the second story, any of that. These are very simple stores.
Could this just be one of those benign, we're doing a redesign kind of thing? Because Apple was doing this in New York. They took their cube and they're changing the...
But they didn't close it.
They didn't close it, right? Because that's 24 hours a day. But they covered it up and put new glass. That's what's coming in. Mm-hmm. Is this just part of like renovation? Or do you think this is... We have a really, really large...
Maybe cleaning the carpets.
Really, really large iPhone banner that they have to put up. It's going to take a week to do this, though?
I think, I want to see when these stores were opened, right? If these stores are old, I mean, do you know when the Walnut Creek store opened, Tom?
I don't remember now.
In your neck of the woods. But, if these are the oldest stores, my guess, this is going to be something totally lame. They're, up to the Apple Cube, all they did was replace the glass so that it had less seams, right? That's along the lines of what I'm expecting here. I'm not expecting some sort of like, turns out these are the actual locations of the new iPad phone, right? Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah. These stores all had something minor that needed to be fixed. And they said, what? We need to make sure they're open in time for the new iPhone.
Those floors, they're big concrete slabs. They might have too many seams.
They have to reorder them.
That's so right. Yeah. They have to be slightly rounded squares instead of very harsh angles.
Maybe there were too many buttons. Let's move on to the news fuse. I'm tired of this story.
Yeah.
International Business Machines. They do more than just typewriters, folks. They do enterprise solutions, and they are now even bigger than Microsoft. Oh, wait, now Microsoft's bigger. No, now IBM's bigger. IBM recently passed Microsoft in market capitalization for the first time since 1996, at least at closing yesterday. Their market cap was just in front of Microsoft, but market capitalization is tied to stock price. Microsoft regained its lead over IBM today. However, at the close of the stock market at the end of the day, IBM was back in front. So it's a neck-and-neck horse race to see who's number two to Apple.
You'll find all kinds of info on Pastebin. I'm not going to acknowledge the IBM thing. Like J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO's personal information. A person by a username of Cabin Crew, so maybe it's a bunch of people, posted...
With a three, Cabin Crew.
It's spelled Leet, but the I was spelled with an actual I, not a one. Posted CEO James Diamond's political contributions, legal info, family information, and addresses on the site. Apparently, the data was posted to show support for the Occupy Wall Street protests. The same hackers posted data about Goldman Sachs CEO and an NYPD inspector.
Hey, congratulations, Canada. You're finally getting something the U.S. has had for a long time. No, it's not the Kindle Fire. No, it's not Hulu. It's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Good for you.
Although in Canada, it's called the Copyright Modernization Act. And I guess the Z should be an S. In modernization, I don't know. It still requires parliamentary review, but it is expected to pass by the end of the year. It would make unlawful the manufacture, sale, and distribution of devices that are primarily designed to hack digital locks. The law also would include exemptions for parody, satire, and mashups that are done for non-commercial purposes as long as the material was acquired legitimately. This is not the first time they've tried to push this through in Canada, and if it doesn't pass this time, I'm sure it won't be the last.
Google Chrome is a virus, according to Microsoft Security Essentials. The security program identified the browser as PWS:Win32/ZBot. If the user clicked the remove button, Chrome would be uninstalled. Microsoft has since updated its software so it no longer identifies Chrome as malicious.
That's nice of them. Intel announced it will be acquiring Telmap, a mobile navigation and location-based services company. Telmap already works with Vodafone, Telefonica, O2, Orange, and others. The company will become a subsidiary of Intel, which ought to help Intel entrench itself in the mobile space a little more. You know they love that mobile space.
There's a new Windows desktop client for Ubuntu One. With Ubuntu One, you get a Dropbox-like service to keep your files in sync. Until yesterday, it was only for Linux. On the Ubuntu One blog, the reason why the team made a Windows client was because many of its users prefer Ubuntu at home, but may have to work in a Windows world. So they're looking out for you guys.
A lot of times you have to. Timelines.com is suing Facebook for trademark infringement. Facebook recently announced Facebook Timeline, as we all know, a new way to show off information. In Timeline.com's complaint, The company fears that it would be eliminated by Facebook. The company currently has timelines.com and timelines registered under federal trademark laws. And they're really upset that Facebook took away their fan page at facebook.com/timelines.
Why would they possibly do that? A T-Mobile poster, by the way, revealed details about an upcoming Nokia Windows phone.
Ooh.
Yay, the device would have a curved glass front with a 3.7-inch AMOLED display and would come with Nokia's Drive navigation service. The poster was put up at T-Mobile's German headquarters and was quickly taken down, but somebody got a picture of it first, so that's how we know this.
Finally, IHS iSupply tore down the Kindle Fire, so we don't have to go with analyst estimates anymore. IHS says that Amazon spent $209.63 each on the Kindle Fire. The components themselves are estimated at about $190. Now, these are estimates. They didn't actually get their hands on an actual Kindle Fire yet. The remainder of the price after $190 was manufacturing expenses. Previous estimates from Gene Munster put that cost at $250, or Ming-Chi Kuo put it at $180. Either way, both think Amazon is taking a loss on the Kindle Fire in hopes of making real money on the sales of digital content. But it doesn't sound like they're losing $50. It sounds like they're losing around $10 on each one. Let's check the randomizer. What's going to spit out? What's going to be? Is it going to be space? Oh. Yes, it is. In fact, it's going to be SpaceX. During a talk at the National Press Club, Elon Musk of SpaceX fame revealed that the company is planning to make their Falcon 9 rocket fully reusable. Hey, just like the space shuttle. Rendering depicts the first stage, upper stage, and Dragon capsule all separately returning to the Earth's surface and making a controlled rocket-powered landing. During the next few years, SpaceX will test the vertical takeoff, vertical landing, or VTVL maneuvers, and reusability with the Falcon 9-based Grasshopper test bed. They're going to do 70 test launches per year.
I'm completely disappointed in this. I was hoping the technology had moved us far enough that we could have disposable space shuttles.
No, but you know, space junk's a big problem. So it's actually really important that this stuff come back to Earth, and then it saves SpaceX a whole lot of money if they can reuse it.
I just think practically.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I am. Do you like the rockets there, Randall?
Yeah, I mean, you know, space exploration is one of those things I was dreamt about as a kid. I watched Star Trek, the whole nine. SpaceX, to me, is just a fascinating company. They continue to do things that a lot of people assumed private industry could never do. Obviously, with NASA's funding being sort of on the bubble perennially, it's good to see that SpaceX is making such progress. And, you know, from a business standpoint, they're actually figuring out how to make money. So, you know, if this private company can stick around and keep us in space, like, and this obviously this vertical landing stuff is going to play a big role in that. Looking forward to it. So.
I always laughed when I would see the vertical landing stuff in old science fiction movies, you know, during the space shuttle era. Like, that's not what happened. But,
no way.
Yeah. If you wait long enough, every science fiction trope eventually comes
true. Do you think SpaceX is also using a wire when they come back down?
No, probably not. Let's check the calendar.
The Ig Nobel Prize winners were announced last night. Big winner in physiology category was a team that found yawning isn't contagious in red-footed tortoise. The Ig Nobel Prizes are given to research that makes people laugh then think, so that makes sense. The Tevatron Particle Accelerator is shutting down today. It was the world's second largest collider. Starting tomorrow, Best Buy is cutting the price of the HTC Flyer tablet by $200. It'll now cost $299 instead of $499.
Everybody's dropped the price on their tablets.
It's a 7-inch Android 2.3 device. I mean, for $299, it's not bad.
Thank you, Amazon.
Thank
HP.
Thank you, Palm.
A little bit
right
HP.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
AT&T will start throttling its customers tomorrow. That's their data speeds, not actually throttling them. But Virgin Mobile won't start throttling its customers until 2012. The original plan was to start that in October. Sunday, October 2nd, the Samsung Galaxy S2 is coming to AT&T for about $200. And on Monday, October 3rd, it'll kick off the Adobe Max conference. Now, before you think nothing happens there, RIM BlackBerry Playbook was announced at Max last year. So it's always full of winners every year.
Yeah. Full winners.
We'll see what'll be cut next
Tom,
year.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Yeah, Tom. Just kidding.
I still like the BlackBerry Playbook. I just found out a correction to my review of this that I did is you can actually play the Amazon Instant Videos because it plays Flash.
How's the player?
The player? Well, once you get the video playing, it's fine, but you have to use the web interface to get there, and that's a pain.
Yeah. Touchpad, as a side note. Speaking of Flash, Touchpad's Flash support with the last update is a lot better now. YouTube runs like YouTube should.
I heard about that. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
At least
Maybe Touchpad will be the featured product at Adobe Max.
The Amazon Touchpad. There you go.
That would be great. Amazon Touchpad would be amazing.
Well, that would be.
I wish they would revive the Touchpad Go. I was excited about that.
That was going to be cool, right?
Let it go, man. It's over. It's not happening.
I'm not letting the Go go.
Let the HP Touchpad go. And let's check incoming. Incoming message. We got a voicemail from Liam, who's doing something I love when folks out there do, which is get their hands on a product that we haven't and give us a little bit of review. And this one is about the Battlefield 3 beta. Take it away, Liam.
It's Liam from Long Island, New York. I have a Battlefield 3 review of the beta. The gameplay is outstanding, tons of fun, except the graphics. Not what we expected. It's a little lower quality than we would have wanted. But like I said, gameplay is outstanding. All right. Love the show. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Take care. Right.
Thanks for that. Short and sweet. Perfect. Graphics not good. Gameplay awesome.
It's also still in beta, though.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be upgraded.
I did get finally into the Diablo 3 beta, and it is fantastic. It's
pointing,
beautiful.
Pointing, clicking, all you can handle.
It's fun. Let's check some emails.
We got an email from Dustin, the Army computer analyst, and it's a well, actually, for me, about the Star Trek Next Generation HD remaster coming to Blu-ray next year. Even though they're scanning it in the original film at 1080p resolution, according to the Digital Bits, they're sticking to the 4:3 aspect ratio. So that's a nice correction, because the idea is that 1080p.
I know. You got everybody all excited.
I was excited about 16:9, but then again, I realized that you might see like a boom operator.
Well, you know what they did with the original series is they put the enhanced graphics when they redid the effects. They put those in 16:9, but everything else was still in 4:3.
I heard the HD, the effects are being recomposited, so I don't know if that's going to be 16.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
You could go 16:9, except for you mentioned the boom operator. That's definitely.
That's the thing. They're almost off camera slightly, so maybe it's best. Yeah.
Probably. I've got a well, actually, too. Bill in Madison points out that when I was talking about the difference in revenue between the $444 million that Microsoft makes off of Android licenses and how much they make from Yahoo, I said it was $74.5 billion they were making from Yahoo. that was a mistake on my part. $74.5 billion is the amount of revenue that Microsoft makes, not the amount of revenue they make from Yahoo. So
Yahoo's great.
Quite a big mathematical error there. Thanks, Bill, for correcting that. Yeah, exactly. It'd be I don't know how I let that one slip by. All right. Let's thank our Redditors at technewstoday.reddit.com. Folks are over there every day submitting stories for us to consider for inclusion in the show. And other folks, some of them the same folks, voting things up and down to let us know how many of you say, I want to hear about Amazon looking to buy Palm. That was submitted by Lay Zion. Thanks to him or her. And Canuck, White Hat TX, Strawberry Milkshakes, Kevin for Red, CompFixer87, Perseus109, and more for submitting at technewstoday.reddit.com. And thank you, Randall Bennett, for being on the show. Great to have you along.
Yeah, likewise. Always good to be on the show.
I really appreciate it. Let folks know again about what you're working on and where they can find it.
So right now I'm working on this thing that takes Facebook posts and puts them on TV. If you know someone who's working in the television industry, want to talk to them, vidplusplus.com is the best place. I'm on Twitter. You can find me at Randall B. I'm all over. So yeah, I'm trying to change the world with video. We'll see what happens.
One bit at a time.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. Email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. Our phone number is 260-TNT-SHOW. Sarah Lane will be back on Monday. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend, everybody.
I'm sure it's the best. I really like it.